Testing.
And before we go to the treasure, I would like to make an announcement.
I'm an alcoholic named Bill Hatzman, and I have some really good news for you.
Thank you, Bill. I'm Israel Alcoholic, and our speaker tonight comes to us from Exeter. That's right. She has 16 years, just turned 16 on Sunday. Everybody, please welcome Shauna L.
Kitty girl. Hi, my name is Shauna, and I am an alcoholic. Grateful to be here. Also, grateful to be free from the bondage of alcohol and drugs today. I'd like to welcome the newcomers. If you're anything like I was when I first came in, you may be sitting there thinking, if they hadn't done this to me, I wouldn't be this way. No, that'll pass. Give it some time if you just stay. Or you may be thinking, what the hell are they talking about, you know? And give it some time to stay. You'll begin to understand. Except grass, I never understand what the hell he's saying half the time. Shit. But it's better than it was. Some of you may be thinking, you know, is this quag ever going to lift? Yes, it does. You just stay a little bit. And some of you may be thinking also, God, I'm going to go another hour, another day without drinking and be so full of pain. It is not possible. And I'm here to tell you, yes, it is. You know, and sometimes we have these voices in our head that tell us that we're not good enough. There's no way that we can overcome what we're going through. And I'm here to tell you those voices in your head, they don't always tell the truth. So you just need to turn to them voices and say, be quiet. You know, I will not listen to that. And you can overcome anything. I'm grateful to be here today. What it was like? Okay, see, here we go. Let me hurry up and say this. I come from a long line of alcoholics and drug addicts and people with addiction issues. My dad was a big-time drug dealer, cocaine dealer. Jack Ramsey was his business partner. There was a lot of chaos, a lot of drama in my house. So at about 12 years old, my last memory when we were all, the whole family was together, was my dad was screaming at my mom. She's loading up. I'm 12. I'm on the porch. My stepmom had enough. My dad's crap, and she's got black eyes. She's loading up in the van, leaving. And I remember standing on the porch thinking, oh, God, please, Mom, don't go. Don't leave me here, you know. And that image on that porch, I drank a lot over that memory. And I heard a speaker say the other day that there's a difference between what we perceive and reality, that there are two different things, you know. And so, and it wasn't until I did my fourth and fifth step I began to understand and perceive what reality really was and why she did what she did and didn't take it so personally, because I thought, what is wrong with me? So anyways, my dad got busted off to foster homes. I went. I became the ward of the state. And my first foster mom, I knew her already as friends of the family. She didn't know what to do with me. I was full of pain. You know, my first suicide attempt at 13. So she kicked me out, and I went into other foster cares. And at age 15, the best way to describe me was chronic emotional pain. I can only describe that's how I felt. And I picked up my first drink and had it. And I will never forget how it felt when I took that drink and it set in, and it was like I transformed, and all that pain I had, everything just seemed to kind of just go whoosh and just kind of disappear. And I remember thinking, yeah, and up at that point, I always felt disconnected. And the only time I felt connected was at that moment that I drank. And I remember my first thought, more. I want more. I love it. This is good. I felt like I just fit in. I just loved it. So I chased that. And that's all I wanted to do was drink. I became pregnant as a teenager at an early age. And I left my daughter with whoever, wherever. I did not care. All I wanted to do was drink and do my thing, you know. And I took all my anger and rage out on that little girl, just like my dad and everybody else did. I became my dad and my mom and everybody else. So it came time, my brother was killed in a car accident. My daughter's boyfriend was drinking and driving and killed my brother in a car accident. And that really set it off there. And I was facing some court issues with my daughter. I ended up eventually having my rights taken away to her. And as a mom, lost her. And then I remember thinking I had like this moment of clarity, thinking, you know what? I think I know what my problem is. It's Visalia. Yeah, freaking Visalia. I see you move. That's gonna solve stuff. So I moved to Hawaii. I'd never been there, you know, or anything. I sold my car, furniture. I bought a one-way ticket. I didn't have a job. I didn't have nothing. I just went. That's just kind of how I did. And it was really weird because like all the same shit would happen while I was there. And I thought, wow, I'm unlucky. That's what it is. I'm just unlucky, you know. Same drama. Same stuff. Same. Situations would happen with drinking and whatever. And so then someone said it's time to come back. So I was there a couple of years, came back, and met my first husband. And during that time that I just met him, kind of, my daughter's father was killed in a motorcycle accident. So then I got my daughter back at age six years old, and I was a mom again. It was so scary. She didn't really know me real. I mean, I did spend some time away from her a little bit, so kind of had to reunite with her a little. And then, so anyway, so things seemed to be okay when I married my first husband. He's a normie, a teacher. You know, I had one child after another. Boom, boom, boom. So I really didn't have time to party too much, you know, really, because I was pregnant. So I did. I kind of, things seemed to kind of calm down. It's like, okay, this is good. All right. And then, then after my son was born, my fourth child, those old feelings of not feeling good about myself, all those feelings started coming back, and I started drinking, and I started using other things too. You know, I call it, anti-blackout medications is what I like, you know, other substances. Except for me, alcohol, drugs, they just go hand in hand. That's just my story. And, I slowly started down that descent, you know. I'd wait till my husband would go, and I'd just get wasted. I was home with the kids all the time, and then I'd wait, and I'd get a job at night so I could be gone. And I meant to come home. I meant to. I wouldn't. You know, I'd come home. I'd stay late. I always have some excuse. I'd be out. And I had a perfect job because I worked at the Creative Center, and across the street was El Presidente. And I'd go clean at night, and I'd go there to get drunk, and then my connect was just down the way, and it was good for a while. And then my husband started kind of noticing things, and then long story short, I ended up telling him what I was doing, you know, and at this time I was 89 pounds. And I told him what I'd been doing. I need help. I said, I think I need to go to one of those like rehab places. I don't know. And so he's like, okay, I'm going to get somebody to watch the kids. You know, I'll be right back. And something said, uh-oh. I had this bad feeling, and I was drunk and under the influence, and he called the cops instead. And keep in mind, I put this guy through hell. So knock at the door. I'm arrested, you know. I'm like, we live by the golf course, kind of. And we got cops arrest me. I'm out in the car, and I think, please, God, I won't do this anymore. If you just get me out of this one, please, you know. And I had been to jails before and stuff like that, but just to sober up, pretty much. And so I was arrested. All they could get me for was under the influence, and I ended up going to 11th Hour is where I ended up going to check myself in there. And that's where when I went in there, I was like, I always say I was an injustice collector of the highest order. I can recall in vivid detail down to what the fuckers were wearing, excuse my language, down to what they were wearing and who pissed me off on what day, you know. So when I went in there, I was like, do you know what's been done to me? You know, and they're like, shut up, sit down, you're the problem. And I went, oh my God, what? You guys are mean. but I remember they took me to my first AA meeting. And I remember this big group of people, and I was just kind of, I didn't even share anything. I was 89 pounds, you know, and I said, what the hell is going on here? What is this? You know, I couldn't understand. I was in a fog, you know, and I just remember one guy, someone came out to me and said, keep coming back. And then I was like, whatever. And then and then someone said, just stay. You know, I said, oh, no, man, the van's coming to pick us up. You know, I got to get back to the rehab. I got to bounce. This meeting's long enough. You know, I got to stay here. I didn't know that's what they meant, you know, stay. And so, but anyways, I ended up getting ready to graduate. I had court. Graduate, whatever. Almost my 3 days were almost up, and some girl brought some stuff into the program. And the night before court, and I hear her in the bathroom, and I know what she's doing, and I'm like, hey, you know, so we snuck out all night, got drunk, used knowing I had court in the morning to face the judge. And so here I am in front of the judge. I'm under the influence. I'm drunk. He says, ma'am, do you know you have child endangerment charges? You're going to need an attorney next time. So I called the rehab place, and they said, Shauna, come back. I think you need to do another 30 days. I was like, oh, whatever. So I did another 3 days, but I didn't get – ended up doing an IOP, outpatient program, but I was not about to get honest. And I was not going to get a sponsor or work – because who gets honest, right? I was going through a divorce because I couldn't – I went back out. I couldn't stay sober long. And then my sister had me a job lined up. I trained for it. She had a place for me. I was going to stay, but she was going to be gone over the weekend. And then she said, Shauna, you know, just stay sober a little bit. Let's get you in this thing. I said, okay, I can do this. And I went out with the sheriff guy, and we ended up getting all drunk, and he had some dry goods. When I drink alcohol and I'm under the influence, I want to take myself out. This is what I do, you know. And I had a suicide attempt and woke up in the hospital. And my sister came in with my suitcases and basically said, screw you. Here's your stuff. I lost everything in one night. My husband comes in. I'm going through my divorce. I just made things a lot worse for myself. And he comes in and all I have to my name, literally, is a pack of cigarettes I have in there, you know, my clothes on. And he's all, well, I guess you won't need these cigarettes. And I'm like, ah, I took my cigarettes, damn it. And I remember someone in AA, they brought me in their house, and they said, here, just stay here for a while. And I slept on the floor with these dogs, and I thought, oh, my God, I'll show you, I'll stay sober. And I did for a year, and I had supervised visits, and I didn't work the steps. I didn't get with the sponsor. Hold on, you drink. I didn't do anything different. And I stayed sober about a year, got the kids back, but I was pissed, you know. So I met with my business partner. I had this cleaning business thing with her, and she never saw me in my disease. And so it was a Christmas party, and she's like, hey, Shauna, you can have one drink, right? I was all, yeah, and I had it, you know, a year, and I was all, yeah, sure. And it was like I took that first drink, and it was like that little voice inside said, here we go. And I was back on the stuff. So Christmas Day, my kids come over. I'm gone, you know. And I stayed gone from the program for over 2.5 years. When they say this disease is progressive, they're not kidding. I eventually gave my husband the kids. Most of, you know, because, and in my mind, I thought, I'm doing them some good. This is for them. And really was, I just wanted them to stay away. I figured I'm not hurting anybody. Back off. Leave me alone and just let me die. You know, and I shut myself out from everybody. And I was alone and I would talk to myself. And I figured if nobody answered me back, I was doing okay. And then things got pretty bad, and I just was, I just got to the point, and this is my second husband I met. We were just kind of dating at the time, but not really, but he was sober, but not through the program. But anyways, one day he saw me under the influence, and he told me what an ugly person I was under the influence. And whatever he said, I don't know, so, you know, I've lost kids, I've been to hospitals, jail, whatever. He used to call me ugly. I don't fucking like that. And And I, for whatever reason, I had this moment of clarity. You know what? Maybe my problem is me. And I thought, nah, Timmy's a dick. No, and then I thought, you know, maybe all this is because of me, you know. And I remember dropping to my knees and screaming out, dear God, please help me. I can't do this anymore. And there was no burning bush. And I know my neighbors were like, what the fuck is she screaming at? Oh, sorry. What the heck is she screaming at again in there? Crazy lady. And so for a couple days, I stayed sober. I didn't even know how. The committee in my head was so loud. I was driving to Jack Ramsey's house to go clean. The thought of going back to a meeting never entered my mind. And I'm driving. It's loud. And all of a sudden, this whisper cuts through that loud noise in my head. And it says, Shauna, go back to meetings. And I went, whoa, startled me, you know. And I'm all, what? Meetings? I go back to meetings? There's people there, you know. And, yeah, crazy, real super crazy. And I remember heard someone say one time, if you ever hear a voice inside and it's contrary to your natural desires, that's probably God talking, you know. And I heard a speaker the other day. We were at a Laughlin trip, and she said she just needed somebody to be louder than her head. And I so got that. It's so related to what she meant by that. And I went to the Alana Club. I went to my first AA meeting, and no one go, hey, where have you been? You know, nothing. They welcomed me. They didn't kick me down. You know, they did nothing, you know. And I, for the first time, I don't know what the hell was said, you know, because this was kind of crazy still. And but this first time I felt like that, you know what, maybe there's some hope. And so then I decided I'm going to do everything in reverse. I'm going to do everything opposite than what I did before. I'm going to give them sponsor things or whatever, do them like, I don't know, steps and stuff. And I did. And I went to so many meetings and day. I was so desperate, you know, and I would even go into the Lano Club. And I feel like drinking. I feel like, geez, I want to say, I go to the Lano Club and I said, I kick open the doors and Ole would be there. I'm like, I'm here to clean the toilets. He's like, I don't know, how about it? You know, whatever. Just whatever it took. And then, I didn't trust anybody. And they said, Shauna, you don't have to trust everybody. Just pick one person, you know? And I tell my sponsor some things, and I tell Sherry from Tulare, you know, I tell her shit, whatever. I tell myself, you know, hey, I lied today. Hey, I'm this, you know? I feel like setting this guy's trailer on fire. Like, I think that's a good idea, Shauna. Okay, I want to do that then. You know, whatever I thought, I let it out. I didn't hold anything back. And then when I got with my sponsor and doing the fourth and fifth step, I began to see that little girl on the porch when I tell my mom, please don't leave me here. You know, don't leave. And then I began to understand her because she was an alcoholic, my stepmom was. And my real mother that wasn't around, she wasn't around because she didn't. It's not because she didn't love me. She was schizophrenic, you know. She was on her, had her own issues and her own stuff. And my dad, you know, he had his own addiction issues and everything, all those things, you know. And what was my part and what wasn't. And they helped me separate all that stuff. And I let go all the things that I did, you know. Any secret that I had that was big, I thought was too big and scary, you know, I let it out. I just freaking let it out. And no one condemned me. No one said anything, you know. And I was free from that, you know. So when I did that, and then doing amends too, you know, they say expectations of premeditated resentment. You know, when it comes to amends, don't think that they're going to be okay with your amends. I'm just going to tell you right now, because I came to my ex-husband, that's all. I'm thinking she's going to cry and stuff, you know, but no, he's like, whore! And I was like, oh, okay, but you know what, but I was free. I said what I had to say, and I was set free, and you deal with that, and that's on you, and whatever. Sorry. Got that. So things were good, you know, and then my second husband, we had gotten married and stuff, and life was really good, you know. I still had stayed connected with the program. I was doing H&I, I was doing all kinds of stuff, you know, and I think that during that time of those years with my husband, I think I really made him my higher power a little bit, because I didn't realize how much I depended on him for everything, even my own joy, you know. And I was celebrating my 14 year at the Shack. And luckily, it just had opened up because Shaq did for a few weeks, you know, and I started kind of going back. It was like God was preparing me, you know, let's get you back in here, Shauna, because this is what's going to happen down here, you know. And so I was celebrating and my 14-year chip, and I said, life is good. I got a great husband. I don't have to worry about finances and stuff, you know. It was just great. And, you know, I always say this, you never can... This thing that comes about tomorrow, you know, we can't, life is so unpredictable. You just don't know what's going to be. And that next day, my husband, I lost my husband, not to death, but to Karen from State Farm. a day. It's the first time I was ever faithful in anything. I figured I had some karma coming or something. So for about 2 days, I'm in a closet, like in a fetal position, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know, how am I going to get through this? And then something said, Sean, you better get on your knees, and you better start praying, and you better get into acceptance really quick. And I did, you know. I did. So no one was killed, because that's progress. Because the old Sean, some shit would have went down, I'm going to tell you right now. It would have not been good. So, but you guys love me. You guys love me, and you guys got me through this. And I did, and I realized there was a lot of things on me. I mean, I thought that I was done, you know, working steps and doing stuff. And no, we're constantly growing, we're constantly changing. You know, I forgot when I was with my husband, I was so worried about him and his needs and what he wanted and blah, 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 that I forgot about me. And I forgot how to love myself and those things that are so important. And I'm still learning, you know. I was like, God dang, did we ever grow all the way? Is it we done? No, we're not done. But I'm grateful for these rooms. This program has changed me profoundly. I know that I will never be the same girl that crawled into these rooms 16 years ago. You know, my relationship with my children, that little girl that we're so close, you know, my grandbabies have never seen me under the influence. Thank God. And my children aren't afraid of me, you know. We have such a close bond. They're like, Mom, we don't even remember, you know, stuff like that. It's like, I do. I remember, you know, those things. And I'm just so grateful. You know, I got a son right now that's heading that direction, the alcohol. I see him drinking in the morning. You know, he's 21. And I know that there's nothing I can do about it, you know. I could just be an example and hope that maybe one day, you know, because you can't learn people's life lessons for them. That's something they got to learn on their own, and they'll do it when they're freaking ready, you know, and getting into acceptance about things. That's what you guys have taught me. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to be here. My stepmom drank herself to death, you know. I remember... But I got to come to my stepmom, and I remember Jack Ramsey said, Sean, I should probably just die that, you know, that way. Some people are just, there's so much pain, and they're just not ready to face it and give it up. He says, how about you just accept her right where she's at, just exactly how she is. And, I remember her, she was having, liver was kind of shutting down a little bit, and, we were going to do like an intervention type thing. We were going to give everybody one more chance. Okay, let's do this. We got this. I called Grass. She lived in Alaska. And I said, my mom says, you know, let's do that. Okay, when she comes out of the hospital, we can put her in a place. And, you know, her body just did a 180 and shut down. She died a horrible, not a very good alcoholic death, you know. That's where this disease takes us. And I forgot to say that when I had another child in there that year that I was sober, but didn't do anything. You know, I switched one addiction for another. Because I always just say the three Ds got me trouble, drinking drugs, and the other one rhymes with stick. Anyways, so I got pregnant from someone at the Lana Club. So I had my fifth child in there. So her dad had about a year sober. We went back out around the same time. I made it back to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. He never did and hung himself about 7 years ago, devastating my daughter. But we don't know if it's going to be our last run, if we're going to go back out and if we're going to make it back into these rooms. I don't think that I would. I don't know. I don't dare chance it. I'm going to just keep doing what I do, you know, as long as I don't pick up that first drink. I know I had one time I had a resentment from my 15th year. And I thought, I'll show you, you know. And I would order the biggest, fast margarita. And I sat it down in front of me, and I was so mad, you know. And I got out my lip gloss. And I kid you not, my 15-year chip came flying out and landed right in front of that drink. It was just enough time. Like God said, whoa, 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 hey, Shauna, consider this, you know. And I was like, hey, God, you know, I did not invite you to this pity party right now, you know. But it was enough time to say, whoa, you know. And they said, okay, Shauna, did you have some expectations? Hell yeah, I did. Okay, what's your part in this? Damn it. You know, and so I had to go back and relearn. That was another thing. You know, all these God shots we get in the program, you know, all these little miracles that happen. And I'm just so grateful that I can see that now, and that I'm aware of these things that God shows me. And I wouldn't have done it. I mean, you guys, I believe that God talks to us through others, and you guys brought me my God back. You know, when I was alone talking to myself and stuff, I didn't hear God. I just only heard, you know, my great advice I would give myself, you know. That's scary. And for that, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for the higher power you gave me, you know, and for all of you that just love me so I love myself, because I know I was pretty crazy when I first came in. And I'm grateful for that, and that's all I got. Thank you. I'm so scared.
Talk about sobriety and getting sober and getting off that addiction. But if you don't mind sharing, tell them what else you had to walk through with it. For your sobriety and acceptance, because acceptance is the key in all of this.
Yeah. So years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So at first it was like, ah, you know, how am I going to, oh my God, I got to face this. I could be crippled one day. I could be this or that or that, you know. And so I just, by the grace of God, luckily, my medication is pretty much, I mean, if I get too hot, I sound drunk. My speech goes to shit. I'm not drunk, I swear. My vision a little bit, but I really feel like the gratitude that I'm not as bad as some people that have this disease. And for that, I'm just always trying to stay positive and look at that. And then my medication, I was scared because when I got divorced, I lost my insurance that I had. And I thought, oh, my God, how am I can't afford $3,000 a month, or $6,000 actually was for my medication. And there's a gal in the program, and she was talking, and she was saying, I mentioned MS, and it was kind of weird because a few weeks before, something like God had told me, stick close to this gal, you know, like I got something here for you. I'm like, huh, what the, okay, God, you know, because I feel these little inner nudges, you know. And so I kind of stepped closer in, and then she was talking one day, and she said that her nephew has multiple sclerosis and he gets medication for free. I was like, what? Free? I was like, oh my God, sign me up. And so she got me in contact with who I get in touch with, and I now get my medications free. This was the only thing that's kept my MS in remission, kind of. So problem solution. See how God just opens door, and we say, okay, God, here you go. And then just people just kind of come forward, and it just works that way, you know, when it's like that. So for that, I'm grateful for that, too. Yeah.
Lynette, and I'll call it. Shauna, what is, tell me about the very first thing that brought you hope that made you to be the sober life?
That was you people. That was you people. The ones, especially the ones that were still here. And seeing the transformation in some people, you know, because I know that God works through He doesn't work for the perfect people. He takes the fix the broken ones that are all jacked up, you know. And you think, whoa, if so-and-so can get sober, oh, my God, Alcoholics Anonymous must work. And there is a God. So when I see stuff like that, then, you know, I was like, wow, okay, they can do it. I know I can do it, you know, that kind of thing, I guess. The broken ones, those are the ones that God likes to work with, you know, the misfits. You know, I felt like that at one time. I remember telling my mother-in-law, you know, I said, I feel like I don't fit in, like a black sheep, you know, kind of. And she's all, that's because you are. I was all, that's why I feel that way. but I love the broken, those kind of people are so screwed up, and you think, oh my God, you know, and those are the people I really look up to that make it, you know, that give me hope, you know, and other people hope, so.
Check. My name is Tom, an alcoholic. One of the things that stood out to me is when you were making your amends to your ex-husband, what did you do to prepare yourself for not getting discouraged and how did you keep on moving forward when you felt that rejection?
I had to literally, because he didn't believe that I would stay sober, so I had living amends. And then years later, me and his wife, good friends. I mean, I can walk into a restaurant, they all be like, come on, Shauna, sit down. With all those family members that before were like, you know, and just close. So it was a living amends. I had to kind of show them that, I mean, business, you know, I'm not, this is for real, so I'm staying sober. And I think once they saw that, and I try to remain, always seeing my part and stuff and said, you did this, you know, and when I changed that thinking, that's when things begin to change, for me, as far as that goes. But yeah, living men, definitely, you gotta prove it sometimes. But, I don't know. Yeah.
What was your highlight in your sobriety? Like, what encouraged, like, what, when you got sober, like, what was your all time like high, like, peak cloud? Like, man, I can forget to do this without drugs.
Huh. There's been so many different things, you know. I remember grass, he's like, what? I could never dance sober. Dance. I couldn't. I could not. He didn't get me out there. And Grass was the first one I knew. I think it was at Burbank or something. He's all, huh? That's right, huh? So he got me out there. I was like, I can't get out there. I can't dance sober, you know, and getting out there and doing that. I was like, oh, yeah, yes, I can do this. But I mean, I don't know. There's so many things. I could, huh? Air check. Oh, God. This guy, I tell you what, he was so big in my recovery grass, but he would take me on this stupid boat. And not stupid boat, but give me knee board. And I couldn't do the air chair real good. I think I sucked or something. I think I fell maybe. And I was like, nah. But I got it up. And then, but knee board, they would take me just wherever, whatever would, get me out of my head because I was so a loner, you know, alone. And I just followed him wherever he went. And just, they dragged me everywhere. And 12 step calls. Yeah, I did 12 step call with him and flew a girl to, flew that girl to, some rehab somewhere with, at King Air. He said, come with me. I want you to come with me to this 12. So this girl, she did meth too. No one here. And so anyway, she was scared and she didn't want to go and she locked herself in the bathroom and she didn't want to hear anything anybody had to say. And no one there except me had been in a rehab to know what it was like and where she was going was like Club Med compared to where I was going. And I said, well, none of you guys have been to rehab. She don't know what the hell it's about. She's scared. You know, and Grassel, well, go in there and tell her. I was like, so I go in there and I talk to her. I said, hey, you know, just go. Just try it. I said, but I'm going to tell you. And she goes, okay. All right. I said, where are you going? It's nice. You know, just relax. Just be in the moment, kind of. Just try it, you know. And I said, so I waited. She said, okay, I'll go if you go. And I was like, okay. So we fly her over there, and before she gets off the plane, I said, look, you're probably going to want to run after a couple of days. I'm just telling you. You're going to be like, ah, they're trying to tell me what to do. I don't like them. And she did. She got kind of a little anxious, but she was fine and talked to it. And she ended up, last I heard, did really well. Yeah, she did good. But because I related, you know, we can relate. We can cruise relate. And so I gave back, and it was pretty cool. Brett.
Brett from the Alcoholics.
Hey, Brett.
Brett, if you leave us tonight with, if you can think of it, the best piece of information or is that somebody's giving you in recovery?
That someone's given me?
Yeah.
Oh, God, where would I guide me nor start? Best advice? Yeah, be accountable. Always be honest. Stay in the moment. I heard a prayer the other day that they said at the convention, you know, and this girl said her favorite prayer was, God, thank you for everything that you've given me. Thank you for everything that you've taken away. And thank you for what I have. And it just was like, oh, God, I relate to that. I really relate to that. So, I mean, if I can say, if you could do a simple prayer, that I think that prayer really sums it up for everything. And that's all. Is that it? Okay, can you sit down now? Take care.